Radio Influence. The future is now. This is Beyond the Badge on Radio Influence. A look inside the biggest and most controversial news stories you need to know now. One of the country's most relied upon law enforcement analysts, Vincent Hill.
Good evening and welcome to Beyond the Badge. I'm your host, Vincent Hill, coming to you, of course, from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do each and every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively brought to you by my friends from RadioInfluence.com and available for downloads on iTunes. There's a lot going on in the world of policing. There's a lot I want to cover tonight. There's been so many police killings, which have been tragic. There's just so much going on with police and how people just think they can target police. I'm getting sick of it. I know all my police friends, all those in law enforcement, are beyond sick of it because they still wear their uniform and they, too, walk out their door every day feeling like they're a target. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the officer that was killed by friendly fire up in Maryland a couple of weeks ago, and some tragic events have come out of that shooting that the police chief recently released, saying the shooting was deliberate. I want to talk about that and why it was, although deemed deliberate, why I can kind of understand why it happened, that they're saying another officer deliberately shot this other officer there when the individuals were attempting a suicide by cop at the police station there in Maryland. So I want to touch on that. I also want to talk about John Bones Jones. And for a lot of you that don't know who he is, he's an MMA fighter in the UFC. He's been in and out of trouble with police for a couple of years now, and he recently was stopped by police in Albuquerque, I believe it was, for drag racing. And the traffic stop was caught on the officer's body cam, and I want to touch base on John Jones' actions and how that traffic stop could have gone horribly wrong for him, you know, outside of his so-called celebrity status and outside that he's one of the greatest fighters to ever grace the UFC. It does not excuse his actions, and this officer would have been well in his right to do a few things, so I want to touch on that real quick. My friends over at MMA Report on RadioInfluence.com asked me to talk about the case and asked me to possibly come on their show to talk about it. So I'm going to give you a little bit, a brief synopsis of this Jones stop. We're going to listen to a little bit of the audio from the body cam, and then I'll talk about it.
Once again, you're not admitting guilt. You're letting me know you're aware of the court date. Did you have something you wanted to say, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, I do. Is your thing recording
here? It's always recording. Did you have something you wanted to say, Mr. Jones?
Yes, absolutely. You and I both know that that I was not drag racing.
No, sir, I actually know that you were drag racing.
Okay,
I watched you do it.
Okay, let me talk, right?
Okay.
Do I have that right
Mr. Jones, we're not having court out here.
Do I have that
you
right
have
to
a court
talk?
Date and you
do
can
I have that right to talk.
You do have that right to talk,
okay,
and you
so
can tell
give
us
my
in
right
court.
And let me talk. Okay?
Go ahead, tell me what you're gonna tell.
You and I both know.
Don't tell me what I know. You're
you
gonna testify
I
to what I know?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I'm gonna testify to what you know.
I know that you,
you
were drag racing and I will testify
know
to that.
That I was not drag racing.
Actually
you
I do know that you
I
were drag racing.
Both know that I did not speed. You and I both know that I freaking rev my engine at the red light and I never took off racing at all. Nor was the car next to me ever took off racing. I just simply rev
both
my engine.
You took off at a high rate of speed, sir.
No, I did
only
not.
Only you kept going. He
no,
slowed
I
down.
No, I did not.
Okay.
You are an absolute fucking liar.
Well, we can talk about it in court. I need you to sign inside this box. Once again, you're not admitting guilt. You're letting me know you're aware of the court date.
You are an
inside the box, sir.
Liar. Wait.
What am I waiting for?
I'll call my lawyer.
If you do not sign in the box, sir, I will have to take you to see a judge. That means I will place you under arrest,
I'm
and then you will
to
go
call
see
my
a
lawyer
judge.
To ask him about this paperwork.
Okay.
I'm sure I have the right to do that, buddy. Fucking liar. I can't believe you.
Fuck. Well, believe it, because I'm not joking.
For no reason. Fucking with me for no reason. What's your name?
Officer Brown. It's on your ticket, sir.
I can't fucking believe you. You're ridiculous.
Just doing my job.
No, you're not doing your job. You're fucking picking me, this fucking Corvette out for no reason. Oh, you're blaming me for all this shit that you know isn't true. You're ridiculous.
It is not no reason,
fucking,
sir.
I used to really respect police for fuckers like you.
You would rather I just turn my head and let you be a nuisance to the
citizens?
I'm
not a nuisance to the citizens.
I've sworn to protect the citizens from people like you, Mr. Jones. Please don't
give
dig
me
around
your,
in
give
your
me
car.
Your, give me a...
Now, let's just say, and I've said this before, it's not illegal to be a butthole. So, for John Jones to have an attitude, okay, it's not illegal. Is it something officers enjoy dealing with? No. But it's an expectation of the job. So he had an attitude. Sandra Bland had an attitude with the officer. I've said it before. I think the officer was out of line for getting her out of the car for her saying she didn't have to put out a cigarette inside her own car, which she was absolutely correct in. But here's why I think this officer, if he decided to, could have been justified or would have been justified in getting Jones out of the car. Initially, you can hear Jones say, I'm calling my attorney. And I think you can probably hear in the audio of the body cam, the phone ringing. Well, here's the thing. He picks up this phone that looks just like an iPhone 6, and he starts messing with it. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, but please, if you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. There is a new gun that looks just like an iPhone 6. It folds, it's conform to the same shape, size of an iPhone 6, but when you unfold it, there's a trigger and there's a barrel. And officers have already been distributing this out during roll call to watch out for this item, which could kill you. It's a gun. Granted, it's very small, but it doesn't take a big bullet to kill a big man. It just takes one bullet placed at the right place, hitting the right target, to kill a man. Or a woman, or a law enforcement officer in general. So Jones is there, he's calling his attorney, okay, it's a cell phone because you can hear it ringing. Then he starts doing something, well, before that, you can hear the officer say, if you refuse to sign this ticket, I'm going to have to take you to jail. Which is true, because if you don't sign a traffic citation, just simply saying, you received your copy. It is not an admission of guilt. It's just saying you received your copy. And I can't tell you how many times people have said, I'm not signing this, blah, blah, because you said that I did, blah, 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 blah. It's not an admission of guilt. It is simply saying you received the copy of the citation that I wrote you for the traffic infraction you committed. So the officer said, if you don't do this, I'm going to take you to jail, which he would have been in his right to do. Here's where it gets really interesting, and here's where Jones is lucky he didn't get tased, pepper sprayed, a gun put in his ear, or anything. And I urge you to watch this video, and as soon as you Google John Bones Jones, it's going to be the first story that pops up, I assure you. He begins reaching into the center console of his car. Now, anybody in law enforcement, and I don't care if it's John Jones, I don't care if it's John Stamos, I don't care if it's John F. Kennedy, I don't care who it is, Jimmy Crack Corn. When you begin to reach into your center console on a traffic stop, and you're already agitated, keep in mind, and you're already being somewhat combative, keep in mind, I may think as a reasonable officer that you may be going for a weapon. So it would be no surprise if when you turn back around, my Glock 40 was pointed at your head, because at the end of the day, my job is to go home to my family. So when you begin to make furtive movements the way John Jones did in this video, don't be surprised if John Jones would have had a gun put in his face. So then what would it have been? Oh, they treated this celebrity, this black celebrity, so wrong. This white officer treated him so wrong. No, this black celebrity who thinks his stuff doesn't stink was acting really erratic because, let's face it, he's driving a daggone 2016 Corvette. The officer said he was drag racing. He, John Jones, even admitted he revved his engine up at the light. So why rev your engine up if your intent is not to take off at a high rate of speed, as the officer said? I don't think the officer made up this story, and I can assure you, I believe with 100% certainty, this officer did not know it was John Jones inside the Corvette, even when John Jones gave him his driver's license, which actually has his real name, Jonathan Jones. He had no idea. He didn't say, "Oh, aren't you the guy in the UFC? Aren't you the MMA fighter?" No, that officer was doing exactly what he said he was doing, protecting the citizens. When you have someone driving at a high rate of speed through neighborhoods, it's that officer's duty to stop that individual. He didn't know it was John Bones Jones, and even though Jones said, "Oh, you're harassing me because I'm driving a Corvette, and I used to respect people, police, but people like you made me lose respect for them," that officer had no idea it was you, Mr. Jones. The fact is, Mr. Jones broke the law, the officer was well within his right to do the traffic stop, and Jones is more than lucky that the officer did not escalate the situation more than it was. That's the absolute bottom line truth. But enough about that. Let's talk about Maryland and the police shooting that happened in Prince George County back in March. And just to refresh your memory, there were three individuals, three brothers: Michael Ford, who's 22, his two younger brothers, Elijah Ford, 18, and Malik Ford, 21. They ambushed basically this police station up in Prince George County, Maryland. And I don't know if it was an attempted suicide by a cop, whatever their intent was. At the end of the day, one of the officers was actually shot and killed. He was a detective in plain clothes. And before I talk about the officer, I want to talk about something that the father of the three suspects, who are still alive and facing, I think the oldest brother is facing 25 charges, including second degree murder, and the two younger brothers face 10 counts of attempted murder and conspiracy to commit murder, and as they should. But the father of these individuals said in a statement, "I've lost three kids in one shot." "He didn't pull the trigger," Thomas said of Malik. "My son is excellent, and he is a great person." Well, I'm going to counter that and say your son is not a great person, whether he pulled the trigger or not, because a great person would not go to a police station for whatever reason and decide to open fire. Now, you say he didn't pull the trigger. Whether he did or not, he knew what the plan was. He knew what the intentions were. Hence, this is why he's being charged with 10 counts of attempted murder and 10 counts of conspiracy to commit murder. Because whether he had the gun in his hand, whether he was just a getaway driver, whether he just took them to McDonald's first, he knew the plan. So your son is not a good person for you to say he didn't pull the trigger. You know what type of children you had, sir. You know what their mentality was, sir. You probably knew that your sons were capable of this, sir. Because I assure you, I know the mentality of my children and what they're capable of and what they're likely to do. So for me to come back and say, "Oh, Vincent Hill Jr. went to a police station and shot up five people, but he's a good kid." No, I wouldn't say that, because there would be something in my son's mind that as his father, I would pick up on and say, "Hey, my son is likely to do this. My son is likely to do that." I wouldn't come back and make an excuse and say I lost my son in one shot. Because as a father, I would feel as a failure that I didn't pick up on these signs. And sir, Mr. Ford, you had to have picked up on these signs that your sons were homicidal. They were potentially suicidal, because I'm sure at some point at Thanksgiving dinner, at the football games you guys watched, at dinner around the house, the family barbecue, the family reunion, something in your son's speech, something in their conversation, something said, F the police, we don't like the police, we're going to kill police. There was something there that you as the parent knew about your children. So don't sit here and say, I lost my three sons in one shot. No, here's what we lost in one shot. We lost the officer in one shot. And his name was Detective J.K. Coulson, only 28 years old. That's who we lost in one shot. Now, the shooting that killed this officer was friendly fire. It's tragic. It's not the first case of friendly fire in policing. It definitely won't be the last. It happens. The chief of police there in Prince George County is saying that the shooting of this officer was deliberate by another officer. So I'm going to play just a little bit of this press conference, and then I'm going to talk about the word deliberate. And it's not deliberate in what you may think.
Throughout this process, I have said that as we demonstrate things to a high degree of certainty, we will come back to the community and offer additional information about this tragic incident. And what I can reveal now, as a result of a number of different perspectives, the shot that struck and killed Detective Coulson was deliberately aimed at him by another police officer. It's another tragic dimension to this unfolding story. But again, this department is grieving for our loss. This senseless act that has taken the life of one of ours, defenders of this community. But it's important to me that as we are able to demonstrate stuff, not based on circumstance or supposition, but when we have actual facts, my obligation as the chief of police is to come back to you and to give you the facts. And that is what I wanted to offer to you today.
Now, to somebody that knows the definition of deliberate, you would assume that this officer pointed the gun at Officer Coulson and pulled the trigger with the intentions of killing him. That's the definition of deliberate. But let me give you a deeper take on what actually occurred here. But before I do that, let me give you a little background on myself personally and how this almost happened to me. Back a few years ago, well, more than a few now, because I apparently have forgotten how old I'm getting, but back when I was working narcotics in the streets of Nashville, one of the things the bad guys used to say to me after I would bust them is, man, I didn't know you were the police. I didn't know you were the popo. Well, the intent of working narcotics and to get bad guys to trust you is they're not supposed to know you're the popo. But here's the thing. When you're working narcotics, when you're working undercover, it's not like you're in uniform. It's not like you're driving the squad car. It's not like you're walking around with your badge on your chest. You're in plain clothes. I had a beard. I looked bummy half the time. So people did not know I was the police. So one night we were out in East Nashville and a call went out. I think it was a shooting, and the suspect descriptions were two male blacks, about 6'1", about 200 pounds, blah, blah, blah. So here I am in plain clothes. And guess what? I'm 6'1". I was about 205 at the time. So as I'm running through the streets, through backyards and stuff looking for these suspects, a few uniformed police officers come into my path. And guess what happened to me? Guns drawn. And luckily, I was able to very quickly identify myself, say who I was, say that I had heard the call on the radio, and I wasn't shot. But had I not done that, and had they seen the gun in my hand, it could have gone a lot worse than it did that night. So let's talk about Maryland and at this police station. The shooting goes out, or the shooting starts happening. There's calls on the radio. Three black males shooting at the police station. There's uniform officers responding. They're engaged with these individuals. And then here comes Detective Coulson, who the chief has already said was an undercover officer. So I assure you he was in plain clothes. And he arrives to the scene with a gun drawn and begins to fire. So any police officer that is already at a call where there's a shooting going on and they know that the suspects are three male blacks and then another male black comes up, what do you think that mindset of that officer may be? Oh, here's another threat. I need to eliminate this threat, as police officers are trained to do. Now, there are some that will argue, well, he should have known he was a police officer. He works with him. Not necessarily true, because in Nashville, I did not know every officer on the department. It is impossible, because you have different precincts. You have people that work day shift. You have people that work mid shift. You have people that work night shift. It's impossible to know every officer on the department unless you're in some small Mayberry town where there's 20 officers and you all went to high school together. You all were best mans at each other's weddings. It's impossible. So I can honestly see how this tragic timing caused this officer to lose his life. Now, I definitely don't want to victimize him more than he is. But just think, had he decided, well, since I'm in plain clothes, maybe I should not respond. Or maybe I should get on the radio to dispatch and say, hey, advise uniformed personnel that I'm responding and I'm dressed in this and I'm driving this. Because those are things I've done in the past when I was in plain clothes. Hey, advise uniformed personnel that a plainclothes officer driving this will be approaching. Those are the things that keep you safe. Again, I'm not victimizing this officer at all, because at the end of the day, he was doing what he is trained, he is sworn to do, to protect and serve. So when people were shooting at his police station where his brothers and sisters that are sworn to protect and serve are being shot at, he did exactly what his training, his instincts told him to do. He went there to help his fellow officers. And unfortunately, because of the Ford family, who were great kids. Yeah. Unfortunately, because of that, when Officer Coulson approached, and all the melee of the bullets and the call and the chaos that was at that scene, the other officer perceived him as a threat, and he died. Which is why the Fords are being charged with Officer Coulson's murder, as they should be, because your actions that lead to a death in most states that I know of, if your actions result in a death, then you are charged with murder. So, should these guys get charged with murder? Absolutely. Should the officer that shot Officer Coulson get charged with murder? No. Unless they can somehow prove that he had an issue with Officer Coulson and that this was just a scapegoat for him to be able to finally get rid of that vendetta he had against him and kill him, which I doubt they're going to find, that officer should not be charged. Because let's think for this officer for 1 second. He killed a fellow law enforcement officer. Do you know what that's going to do for him mentally for the rest of his life? I'm sure if you ask him, and if he was brutally honest, he would say he would rather spend 20 years in prison than to have to deal with that for the rest of his life. That mental anguish for the rest of his life. Do you realize that that is one of the things that could cause someone to become suicidal? You killed someone, but not only did you kill someone, you killed a fellow officer because you perceived him as a threat. But let's look at it bigger than that. They haven't released the officer's name, and rightfully so. But let's just say, for argument's sake, and I'm thinking I'm about 99.9% sure that the officer that shot Officer Coulson is white. So now let's look at how society's going to see it. Oh, he should have known. Oh, he shot another black man. Oh, he did this. So then they're going to victimize the officer that shot Officer Coulson and demonize him more than he's already feeling right now, because society is brutal. The whole Black Lives Matter movement is brutal. All these activist groups are brutal. The Al Sharptons, the Benjamin Crumps. So when it does come out that this officer is white, can you imagine the stigma that he's going to have on him? They just shot another brother in the streets that was only there to help. Yeah, we know he was there to help. But let's look at the factors. Black suspects. A black man that is not in police uniform approaches. A black man that may not have been known to everyone in that police department, especially if he's working undercover. Remember when I said the bad guys used to say, oh, I didn't know you're the police. Well, neither did the police half the time know that I was the police. That is the nature of the beast in working undercover. So this issue of this deliberate shooting is much deeper than, oh, he just pointed the gun at him and shot. There was a much deeper mindset than that. And remember, officers have a split second to make a decision that could affect their lives or take the life of someone else. And that officer at that split second perceived Officer Coulson as a threat. But I assure you, he's not gloating about it. He's not saying, yeah, I killed one. He's not saying any of that stuff. I assure you, he's having problems sleeping at night. He's probably having nightmares. He has no idea what his future holds, all because of the Ford clan. The good kids, according to his dad anyway, who, for whatever reason, decide police lives don't matter. And they took it upon themselves to go up to this police station and start a shootout. And if they wanted to kill themselves, they did a crappy job doing it because they're still alive. And now they're going to go to prison while this officer is in his own prison for the rest of his life. He has a life sentence. He's never going to get over the fact that he killed a fellow law enforcement officer. That is a death sentence for this officer. You don't get past that. There is no way psychologically possible for him to ever get past that at all. Moving along. In other news, the death by police officers as a result of gunfire continues to increase. We are now at 150% from last year's toll of officers killed by gunfire. We're at 15 for the year 2016. And I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why people like the Ford family, who are good kids, by the way, think that it's okay to shoot at police. I don't know what's going on. And I'm not a politician, but I can tell you this. I'll support anybody, well, there's a few exclusions, that actually are serious about making it a mandatory life sentence or even a death sentence for those that feel that it's okay to kill police. Now, again, I'm not a politician, but I approve that message because maybe it will convince people like the Fords, who are good kids, by the way, that it's not okay to shoot at police. Maybe it will convince people like the individual at the Greyhound station in Virginia that it's not okay to kill the police. Well, for him, he already got his death sentence because he's dead, because he shot at police, he killed one, police returned fire as they should have, and he's dead. Which brings me into tonight's roll call. And we only have one officer to add this week, but one officer is too many. Trooper Chad Drymer was shot and killed while speaking to a suspicious person inside the Greyhound bus terminal in Richmond, Virginia at about 2:45 p.m. on March 31st, 2016. The troopers were actually participating in an interdiction course and were conducting stops of suspicious people. as police do. He spoke to the individual who later produced a gun and opened fire, striking him, the trooper, and killing him on the scene. The other troopers returned fire and killed the suspect. Trooper Dermeyer was a U.S. Marine veteran, and as many times as he served this country, it's tragic, 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 tragic that he died on the streets of the United States of America when he's been deployed to places like Iraq and Iran and had to deal with what we see as terror suspects in all these third world countries. It's tragic that he died at a Greyhound bus station here in the United States of America. I'm serious about this killing of police must stop. I'm serious that whoever gets in office needs to make this top priority for this country. Because, yeah, we have ISIS. Yeah, we have terror cells here. But the real terror is when officers are targeted simply because they are doing what they're sworn to do, protect and serve this community, this country. That is the real terror that is going on in the United States of America, where someone can die in a smelly, pissy Greyhound station in Richmond, Virginia, who gave his life, who served his country in the United States Marine Corps long before he decided to put on that uniform of being a trooper. That is terror to me. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for all your support. Please follow me on Twitter, Vincent Hill Sr., VincentHillSr, and I will see you next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively from my friends at RadioInfluence.com. I love you, and good night.
To continue the conversation, get updates on the show, and to find out when you can see him on television, follow Vincent on Twitter at Vincent Hill Sr. That's Vincent Hill, S-R. This has been Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill on Radio Influence.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.